lift up his name, he has a tendency to send down his blessing and his favor, answers to prayer, healing, signs, and wonders. So if you wonder why the world over he's worshipped, it's because he's a good God. And as his people offer up sacrifices of praise, God does extraordinary things. So it was a wonderful time this morning. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. We are toward the end of our series on in season bearing good fruit. But let's pray before we start, and pray after me or with me. Why don't you try praying with me? If the prayer is there, let's see it. Is it there? I guess it's not. There it is. Pray with me. Avinu Malkeinu, our Father and our King, give me eyes to see, ears to hear, a heart to perceive, and the will to obey your word that I hear today in Yeshua's name. Amen. That's what we want, right? The will to obey, the ability to perceive what God is saying. So our text is found in Galatians chapter 5, and we'll look at verse 22, and it says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, humility, self-control. Nothing in the Torah stands against such things." It's a powerful few verses of Scripture. And, you know, sometimes we have our reading plans and we blow through Scripture. But when we understand what we should be producing as believers who are filled with the Ruach HaKodesh, we just need to take time to say, to allow the Lord to develop these characteristics in us. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, humility, and self-control. Today we're going to be speaking on humility, and I want to start with a story. Once George Washington was riding with a group of friends, and they came, they weren't riding Harleys, by the way, they were riding horses. They came to a place where they had to leap over a wall. In the process, one horse knocked off a number of stones from the wall. Washington said, "We better replace them." His friend said, "Let the farmer do it." But Washington didn't feel right about that. When the ride concluded, he went back the way he came, and he found the wall that was damaged, and he dismounted. Then he carefully replaced each of the stones. His riding companion saw what he did and said, "You're too big to do that," meaning his position. His only response was, "On the contrary, I'm the right size." He wasn't too big to do something menial because of his name, because of his position, because of his power. And so humility, and the Greek word used here in Galatians chapter 5 is praotes, and it's translated humility, sometimes gentleness, meekness, but it means freedom from pride or arrogance. It is a quality of being courteously respectful to others. It is the opposite of aggressiveness, arrogance, boastfulness, and vanity. Rather than me first, humility allows us to say, "No, my friend, you first." Humility is the quality that lets us go more than halfway to meet the needs and the demands of others. So today we'll be looking at the fruit of the Spirit, and the flavor of the day is humility. What do the Scriptures tell us about humility? And what does it mean for us to have this trait developed in our lives? For starters, humility gives us an audience with God. How many people want an audience with God? How many people want his ear, want to be able to get his attention whenever you cry out to him? Yes, we could all raise our hand. That's a good thing. And look what it says in 2 Chronicles 7:14. We know this verse well. It says, "If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and will heal their land. This tells us that humility allows God to hear and to act on your behalf. If my people, wave at me if you're one of God's people, who are called by my name will humble themselves. It's obviously not a given, right? Or else he wouldn't say that if they do it. So if we will choose to humble ourselves, then God will hear. Then God will act if we choose as God's people to humble ourselves. You see, it is pride that keeps someone from reaching out for help. In this case, prayer is the posture of humility that we take on when we seek God's help and assistance in our lives. So prayer, in its very nature, is an act of humility, that we are acknowledging to God that we can't do it, that we don't have all the answers, that we can't do it in our own strength or in our own wisdom. In doing this, we're also acknowledging the kingship of God over our lives. I don't just get up in the morning and go and do my own thing independent of God. No, God is the king. You know, as Jewish people, we wear a kippah on our head as a sign of God's kingship, his authority over our lives. He is over me. I don't do whatever I want to do. God is king, and prayer is acknowledging his kingship. In that verse, humility allows us, obviously, to communicate to God our needs, as well as putting our sins behind us. When we humble ourselves before God and pray, God's like, hey, you're on the right track. He will hear, he will act, he will forgive. So humility is what we're talking about today. If we want an audience with God, then we best humble ourselves and turn to him for our every need. It's a lifestyle of walking before God. Micah 6:8 says this, he has shown you, O mortal, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you? To act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. Micah tells us that humility is required. The truth is, not everyone's humble. You know, some of us have to work on that characteristic. But it is critical, and that's why it's one of the fruits of the Ruach, because God knows that we need help in that area. Humankind is far from humble. And so God is the antithesis, usually, of what we see in the world. And God himself, if you look and read Philippians chapter 2, gives us the ultimate act of humility, right? That Yeshua, God himself, took on the form of mankind, stepped out of heaven and came to earth. He humbled himself and took on the form. Not only did he come to earth, because you might figure, you see the movies, God's come to earth, and they, you know, it's time to rock some world because they're God on earth, right? No, he came to earth and he took the form of a servant. And what do people usually do with servants? Do this, do that. And that's basically what happened to Yeshua. He walked around, right, the land doing good. People demanded things from him. They wanted healing. They wanted provision. They wanted answers to prayer. And he served in humility. It says in Yaakov, James chapter 4, that God resists the proud. Say resist. But he gives grace to the humble. And that's why it's a fruit of the Spirit, because God wants to pour his grace on us. But make no mistake about it, that if we do not walk in humility, God will resist the proud. even among his people. So that's why God says, hey, guys, don't act like this. We didn't read the previous verses in Galatians 5, but act like this. Develop the characteristics of the fruit of the Spirit. This is important for us to understand. Some people who attribute all their woes to Hasatan or family, you know, if it wasn't for that family of mine, or friends, you know, if that neighbor didn't do this, or that workmate didn't do that. People who attribute their woes to other people and other things might in fact be experiencing resistance from God. Because God resists the proud. And if God is resisting you, you're going to end up wearisome from the struggle, and you're going to be very disappointed. Because if God is resisting you, you know, God is like the ultimate football player. He has a good straight arm. Think you're going to tackle God? No way. You know, if God is resisting you, we can't win. And so God looks for the quality of humility. Humility attracts God. He likes to be around those who are humble. This is why we must see this fruit cultivated in our lives. If we want to get God's attention, then we must walk in humility. Humility gives us an audience with God. Humility would also put others first. Philippians 2, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, rather in humility. Value others above yourself. Hear those words. It doesn't just say treat others above yourself, because we could do the physical act. But it says value others above yourself. You know what? We're taught in the world from the time we hit the rug running that we are to succeed in life. We are to put ourselves out there. We are to accomplish things and gain recognition. And a lot of what we hear through different media outlets and in society in general is me first, me and me and me some more. But God doesn't operate like that. And God isn't looking for his people to operate like that. He wants his people to truly value. Say value. Because what you treasure, your heart will be there, right? That's what the scripture says. He wants his people to value others above themselves. Someone wrote this. He said, serve others. Humility is not just about agreeing to an idea of who we are, but rather it is self-knowledge gained through experience. The surest way to gain such experiential knowledge is by serving others. Through service, we learn that our God-given talents and abilities make us different, but not better than our neighbor. Do you hear that? Sometimes we can get the impression that we're better than others because of some, you know, as I even, you know, scan across this room, there's so many you're talented people. You have so many gifts and talents that God has given to you that are wonderful things. But with all our talents and our God-given abilities, they make us different, yes, but not better than others. And certainly not better than our neighbor. Listen to this story about Booker T. Washington. B- Booker T. Washington, the renowned African-American educator, was an outstanding example of humility. Shortly after he took over the presidency of Tuskegee Institute in Alabama, he was walking in an exclusive section of town when he was stopped by a wealthy white woman. Not knowing the famous Mr. Washington by sight, she asked if he would like to earn a few dollars by chopping wood for her. Because he had no pressing business at the moment, Professor Washington smiled, rolled up his sleeves, and proceeded to do the humble chore that she had requested. When he was finished, he carried the logs into the house, stacked them by the fireplace. A little girl recognized him and later revealed his identity to the woman. The next morning, the embarrassed woman went to see Mr. Washington in his office at the Institute and apologized profusely. "It's perfectly all right, madam," he replied. "Occasionally, I enjoy a little manual labor. Besides, it's always a delight to do something for a friend." She shook his hand warmly and assured him that his meek and gracious attitude had endeared him and his work to her heart. Not long afterward, she showed her admiration by persuading some wealthy acquaintances to join her in donating thousands of dollars to the Tuskegee Institute. I love that line in the story, "Besides, it's always a delight to do something for a friend." He wasn't bitter that she perhaps thought that he was beneath her and that he should be doing that because of the color of his skin. No, that's not the attitude he had. He had an attitude of humility. And it worked out pretty good for him and his position. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 2 says, "Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love." Romans 12 and 16 says, "Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited." You see, it's part of the fallen sinful nature to think that we are better or superior to others. Humility affords us the opportunity to serve and love others who are different than us, who have different giftings and abilities than us. Just because someone is different from you or possesses a different set of gifts and talents, it doesn't mean that they are beneath us. Humility, when we walk in true humility, it assures that no matter how many gifts and talents God has poured into our life, for example, the Messiah, right, that no one is beneath us, right? That we are, he said, the first in the kingdom will be what? The servant of all. And certainly the Messiah modeled what it is to walk in humility toward mankind. Another aspect of humility, which is probably the part that we enjoy the most, is that humility is rewarded. Yaakov, James 4 and 10 says, "Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will lift you up." Now listen to me. Nick, is it easy to humble yourself? Not always. Not always. But he says, "Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will lift you up." You see, the way up in the kingdom of God is down. The way up in the kingdom is down in humility. Sitting down, Yeshua called the 12 and said, "Anyone who wants to be first must be the very last and the servant of all." Mark 9. You see, in the kingdom of God, the way up is down. Simply put, humility is honored by God. God sees humility and he wants to honor the person who allows that characteristic to be formed and manifest through their life. Lenny Skutnik had no intention of being a hero that day. The staffer at the Congressional Budget Office in Washington was having an ordinary winter day when Air Florida Flight 90 crashed into the 14th Street Bridge over the Potomac River shortly after takeoff. Those who survived the crash faced death as the plane sank in the icy waters. A helicopter dropped a rescue line to one of the survivors, but she was too weak to hold on. Lenny Skutnik saw he saw what was happening and dove into the water. He swam out to her and pulled her back to shore, saving her life. 2 weeks later, President Ronald Reagan invited Skutnik to attend the State of the Union address, and in describing the accident said, "We saw the heroism of one of our young government employees, Lenny Skutnik, who was honored, who, when he saw a woman lose her grip on the helicopter line, dove into the water and dragged her to safety." Skutnik was honored by the President of the United States not because he tried to draw attention to himself, but because he did what was right in a crisis. Hasatan tells us that we need to be sure everything we do is seen and praised. Yet God reminds us that attempts to promote ourselves eventually backfire. Mishlei chapter 25, Proverbs says, "Do not exalt yourself in the presence of a king, and do not stand in the place of the great. For it is better that he say to you, 'Come up here,' than that you should be put lower in the presence of the prince whom your eyes have seen." It says in Mishlei 18, "Before a downfall, the heart is haughty, but humility comes before honor. Humility is honored, and arrogance is resisted. Pride brings a person low, but the lowly in spirit gain honor." Humility is honored, and arrogance is resisted. Humility is the fear of the Lord. Its wages are riches and honor and life. Humility is rewarded. Wisdom's instruction is to fear the Lord, and humility comes before honor. Mishlei 15:33, humility is rewarded. You can get rewarded by men, or you can get rewarded by God. It's our choice. Kepha Aleph says, "Humble yourselves therefore under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time." Humility is rewarded. Andrew Murray said this. He said, "The great test of whether the holiness we profess to seek or to attain is truth in life will be whether it produces an increasing humility in us. Are we holy? Are we seeking after God? Well, if we are, in fact, humility will be developed in us. Because as we're rubbing shoulders with the ultimate example of humility, see, a lot of us think that we don't have a humility issue. And I would say, instead of just saying that, that we should seek the Lord in that matter. Because it could be the truth of the matter. Here are a few more benefits to walking in humility. Yeshua said, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me." You know, if you're not humble, you can't learn from anyone. You know, the old adage, "Oh, don't tell me about the Bible, I've read it." You know, brother, I'd like to encourage you in the verse, "I know it." Okay. "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, my burden is light." When we walk in humility, we are acting like Yeshua acted. Finally, all of you, be like-minded, be sympathetic, love one another, be compassionate and humble. Humility is an authentic characteristic of God's people. God chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are, so that no one may boast before him. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Humility gives us the perspective of who we are in light of him. Understanding this will push us closer and closer to God. Understanding the truth is, with all our giftings, our talents, they're all gifts from God. We are nothing. Yeshua said, without me, you can do nothing. Is pretty inclusive, is it not? Without me, you can do nothing. What does that speak about us? It doesn't speak, we are valuable to God, absolutely. But everything good in us is from God. Everything. So without him, we can do absolutely nothing. Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore, he instructs sinners in his ways. He guides the humble in what is right and teaches them his way. God gives instruction to the humble. You know, Talmudim or disciples, it means learner. That we call ourselves Talmudim of Yeshua. That means we're learners of Yeshua. And to be a learner of Yeshua is a posture of humility. All of us know a know-it-all, don't we? Or two? They are not open to instruction from God or any other mortal, for that matter, because they already know anything and everything that they could ever be told. Mom and dad can't tell them. Brother or sister can't tell them. The teacher can't tell them. No one can tell you. Your boss can't tell you, because you know. We all know people like that. The truth is that is a very scary place to be, because it places an individual outside of God's instruction. Because if you know it all already, the likelihood of you being open to God's instruction is slim to none. In fact, the know-it-all knows very little, even though they might have acquired a lot of information. Listen to what Isaac Newton said. He was a pretty smart guy, right? Sir Isaac Newton. He said this: what we know is a drop. What we don't know is an ocean. That's a statement of humility. Whatever you think you know, whatever you think you know about God, this is how much we know compared to what can be known about him. God is infinite in his wisdom and knowledge. There's so much information to know. And yeah, we are intelligent people, but we know a small portion of that information. And when we understand that, we won't be a know-it-all. We'll understand that we're always learning, because we're learners. Someone wrote this: pride. Because sometimes we can think, well, I'm not prideful because, you know, I have a lot of self-doubt. Well, pride and self-doubt are really two sides of the same coin. One believes that we know better than God does, and the other believes that he isn't good or powerful enough to change us or instruct us. Neither makes much of God, effectively bringing him down below us. The prideful and the self-doubters both believe they're better than God. They just show it in different ways. So what do? We use truth. We use scripture as the primary tool for life. Primary means we humble ourselves by learning what God has to say about us and about our place in this world. When you search the scriptures, make note of all the things, both positive and negative, that God has to say about mankind. Only by learning God's truth can we acquire the self-knowledge necessary to truly develop humility. You know what? The older I get in the Lord and the closer to Him I get, I look at my wife and I say, the less I know. Because God is, it really, the more you know Him, the more and more and more it becomes a father-to-child relationship. You know, when a father tells a young kid, don't play in the street, he usually doesn't sit down and give him all the reasons as to why it's a bad idea and all the possibilities and everything and all the ins and the outs. He simply says, don't play in the street. Why, Dad? Because I said so. The closer I get to God, increasingly, that's all I need from God. God, just tell me what to do. I don't need to know all the whys and the why nots, because I trust that God, you know what you're doing. I'll say this and I'm closing. That you need to surround yourself with people, hear this, who will both exhort you and rebuke you. We all like the exhorters in our life. Hey, come encourage me. But and that's good to be encouraged because we need that. But you also need someone who's going to look you in the face and say, hey, dude, that's not right. That's not right. Don't do that. That's wrong. You know, it's a right to be wrong. God knows. I think I'm all wrong way more than I'm right, easily. But that's okay, because, you know, understanding that we could possibly be wrong is a good thing, but to have someone in your life, and every wave at me if you're married, hey, that person next to you, that's a, they will every once in a while tell you, when you get something wrong. And that's a good thing, because we're not always right. But you know what? We have to be, even in a marriage relationship, by the way, you have to walk in humility. You know, a lot of people can't receive from their spouse. So here's my question to you. Are you humble enough to receive from your spouse? He's worse at that than me. How can he tell me when he's, well, if he sees something or she sees something, doesn't matter if she's worse than you at it. The truth is the truth is the truth. Are we humble enough to receive not only exhortation but rebuke from people in our lives? People who will provide an honest assessment, praising us for our virtues and challenging us for our shortcomings. Yeah, we didn't like that one, I know, but it's true. There's a story told of the famous inventor Samuel Morse. You ever hear of him? Samuel Morse, who was once asked if he ever encountered situations where he didn't know what to do. Morse responded, more than once, and whenever I could not see my way clearly, I knelt down and prayed to God for light and understanding. Morse received many honors from his invention of the telegraph, but felt undeserving. I have made a valuable application of electricity, not because I was superior to other men, but solely because God, who meant it for mankind, must reveal it to someone. And he was pleased to reveal it to me. This kind of humility brought him honor, right? He was like, hey, he had to get it through someone. He got it through me, and it's not through any doing of my own. It's because of God. And humility will always promote us. Arrogance, pride, even if it's subtle, thinking we're better than others, will cause God's hand to be extended and to keep it us at arm's distance. So the question is, in our relationship, in our struggle to seek after God, it's always good to allow God to evaluate our lives. And say, God, I want these fruits of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, humility, to be evident in my life. Fruit. Fruit's attractive to people. Fruit's attractive to God. God's attracted to humility. Humility gives us access to God, enables us to put others first, and it's honored by God. Bow our hearts. Humility is all about perspective. Who we are in light of who God is. It's not about God desiring us to be put down. It's about God desirous to lift us up. And he realizes that if we don't have humility as a character trait in our heart, he can never promote us. Because we wouldn't be very nice at the top if we're not very nice at the bottom first. Think about that. I'm going to ask the prayer team to come forward. I'm going to just pray over you. And you'll be, after I pray, you'll be free to go. But I want to encourage you. You came here today. It's Shabbat. There's nothing else to really do on Shabbat but relax. So if you're going to be relaxing and you came here and you have an issue in your life, a concern, an area where you need prayer, some help, don't leave without getting prayer. Come up. Let someone agree with you for God to do. I mean, we just sang it, that God is still a God of miracles. He did miracles this week for this community. He did miracles last week for this community. God is a miracle-working God. So if you need a miracle, come up. Allow God to move. So, Father, I thank you, Lord, for your people here, God, and I thank you for your desire to see the very best, Lord, in their lives. Lord God, that you desire them to prosper, to be in health, Lord, even as their soul prospers, God. Lord, as their soul, God, develops these characteristics of the fruit of the Spirit, God, that those who encounter them would say, oh my goodness, I encountered such a tremendous person. God, that the things that they told me and the way they acted toward me, God, was so refreshing. It is incredible. Father, I pray this over this community. God, that each one of us will allow you to develop the fruits of the Ruach HaKodesh in our heart and life. God, this fruit of humility. God, that we would not even have a hint of arrogance in us. But God, we would be those that are completely humble. Yeshua, that we would be like you, that we walk in humility. God, that nothing would be below us. But we would be a servant to all men. And Father, I just pray that over your people in Yeshua's name. Amen.